This Haberman and Middlecoff segment is brought to you by Manscaped.com, promo code HAM, and SeatGeek, promo code HAM, and Ease.com, promo code HAM, and BoxOfAwesome.com, promo code HAM. Now to the segment. Richard Sherman, finalist for the 49ers for Man of the Year, which actually is a pretty badass award because you get to wear the patch. You see, because Witten has the patch on his jersey, and it's like kind of shiny. It's a pretty sweet patch.
Oh, you wear it for the rest of your career. Eli have one.
It's badass.
Yeah.
Richard, I mean, this has gone for all the there were a lot of questions, easy to forget now. Although I think probably a lot of people listening remember about whether or not Richard could play, whether or not he could negotiate his own contract, whether or not a lot of things. It has gone as well as it possibly could have gone. He's been healthy. I mean, I know he's got the hammy right now, but he's been healthy. He's been really good. He's been a leader. He's been one of the faces of the franchise, especially before. I mean, it's gone about it. It's been a perfect marriage to this point.
Yeah, wouldn't you say for every Richard Sherman coming off a major injury that then has like the second act of his career, there are five to six that are just it's over.
Yeah,
like he's a shell of himself, never the same. Goes to the wrong team. I said to you before the podcast, people forget. I bet Richard doesn't. And I bet the Niners don't, is he wanted to give the Seattle, like, the first right of refusal. I remember that. Like, and John Schneider was, like, I think kind of just being nice to him. Like, they didn't want him back. Right. Like, Richard wasn't welcome back.
Right.
But the other team that was definitely interested and was offering him money was the Detroit Lions. Part of Richard, he bet on the Niners. Now, it's not like he had an unlimited amount of options, and they were... You know, it turns out everyone's Florio's like, you need an agent, Richard. Well, Richard, he's fucking played every game. He's going to make the Pro Bowl probably. He's going to bank $20 million in 2 years. It's worked out fine.
Wasn't the Pro Bowl bonus one of the things we talked about? Like, that's pretty risky bonus.
And remember, the other one was a lot of his contract was based on playing in games. Yeah. And Florio's big deal and all the agents' big deal was like, Richard, you're at the point in time in your career where you don't sign those type contracts. Like, you're Richard Sherman. But it's worked. And Richard's happy, and the Niners are happy. And it was just a tipping point of, would their defense be as good? Because I was texting with someone about David Fizdale. And I said,
what did Marcus Thompson say?
No, you know Chris, you follow Chris Vernon, Memphis guy?
Yeah.
Big golf guy. And I was like, you know, he's like, well, the one thing that I think he does, he definitely did in Memphis that turned Marcus all off, was like, I've been to the mountaintop. I've won championships. Mark's like, yeah, you were an assistant coach for fucking LeBron James. Like, you weren't the head coach, buddy. But clearly, like, David Fizdale has some red flags on him. He tries to act like he's this big winner, and it doesn't work wherever he goes for whatever reason. And I think sometimes coaching, when you look at the Niners coaching staff, when they're getting up there, Kyle is accomplished, but as a head coach, he's never done anything. Robert Saleh's never done anything. When you get Richard Sherman in a room and just go, guys, we need to do this extra on the field. When he looks in the DB room, hey, guys, do this. How many non-quarterbacks are just more famous and have more clout than him in the NFL, guy? I mean, seriously. I'm just a list of guys that have accomplished more, are just that level of a human that people just like, are just a tough badass. Like, when you just... He's kind of the total package of... On the highest level, it was like Charles Woodson. Remember when we were just around him with Oakland, you just felt like this presence... I think Richard, there are a lot of similarities there. They're different personalities, but like when they speak, and they don't speak, what's weird about Richard, he used to talk all the time, because didn't Joe Staley say on that video, like, God, I used to hate him, but then you get to know him, you're like, I love him, you know? And I think he's just a mature human, he's just older.
I remember the first time we saw him as a Niner was at OTA, he wasn't healthy, everyone was out there running around, he was not ready to come back yet. But you remember, we talked about it because we were standing there watching it. I'm sure we talked about it on this podcast, that it was just impressive the way he was operating. He was not standing on the side with his hands behind his back. He was kind of all over the field, talking to the young guys, talking to coaches, just everywhere. And you could feel his presence, and you understood that he was not there to collect a paycheck and try to extend his career. He was pretty invested in what was happening, believed in what was happening. When a guy like that, particularly for a team that's not very good, accepts coaching, is bought in, it can have a massive impact. And It has. And the other thing, I kind of feel like, I don't, you know, I couldn't tell you, I haven't really followed how people win this award. I kind of feel like every team has a nominee, so it's 32 guys. I kind of feel like he's going to win it, because
I definitely feel like he's got a legit chance and this isn't just some hollow nominee. Right?
Well, he's just, first of all, and I don't think this necessarily matters, but he is one of the most famous players in the NFL. Right? Now, Cam Newton's nominated. David Johnson's not one of the nominees. Calais Campbell. Andre Whitworth.
Yeah, a lot
Kyle
of high-level
Van
people.
Noy, right? Malcolm Jenkins.
Bobby
Wagner.
Do you know that Richard goes and speaks to, like, the juveniles, I think, like, every other week?
Yeah, so I started reading about him just because of this thing. I started reading about what he does. So I think it's impressive. It's not the only thing he does either. But he's always been – like, you talk to people. I have a buddy who played with him at Stanford. He's always loved Richard. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's a lifetime achievement award. I'm just saying he's been so valuable to the league for so long. Now he's really valuable to the Niners.
I think he's got a legit chance. Were there any other names that stood out to you? Like the Whitworth
one?
It's
hard
to
know.
Guy that's kind of been in the mix.
Because, yeah. You know, you can't do
how
it
do they quantify? Like,
so I don't know what everybody here is doing. Mike Evans.
You're right.
Kyle Rudolph.
It does feel without – remember, Rudolph had the one – remember there was a thing last year during the playoffs or maybe 2 years ago? Maybe the Vikings tweeted it out, like he goes and visits that hospital like every week.
The cancer?
And like every kid there wrote all these articles to him, and he read the thing, and he's crying. It's like, God. And I think just Richard, guys like Rudolph, Whitworth, it's easy because negativity sells, and I'm guilty as anybody, but the amount of high-level guys in the NFL is just dwarfs the amount of slapdicks. I mean, it really does. And the guys like Richard, Whitworth, whoever ends up Witten. I mean, he might have been bad as the Monday Night broadcaster, but Jason Witten could, like, run a company. Richard Sherman could. These guys, whatever they choose to do, they would be dominating in what they chose to do. Like, this is, like, the highest level of Americans. Richard Sherman, when you factor in, dude came from nothing, went to Stanford, became an all-pro in the NFL, does all this shit off the field. It's just, like you said, everyone that meets him knows him. Even the guys that think they hate him, once they get to know him, they're like, God, I wanted to hate him, but shit, he's just so cool.
I know.
I think Joe's kind of summed it up perfectly, speaking for just most people probably around this area. It's like, I can't like Richard. And then you get to know him, you're like, ugh. Like, I think it would be it'd dwarf the level of, like, Dodger fans, like, I hate Bumgarner. Well, I don't know if Bumgarner's really going to galvanize you. Like, you're not going to say anything, right?
I did see that people like God, Dodger fans would hate this. It's like, no, they wouldn't. Would you hate – if Clayton Kershaw was still – would you hate signing Clayton Kershaw? If you were – like, no, you would love it.
No. But I think the difference is Richard is just so open and just so
– yeah.
He talks a lot. Yes. You know, it's just a different relationship you have as a fan. You feel like you kind of intimately know the guy.
Well, he's been involved in your life, right, a lot.
Vocally, you know, football-wise, like the whole package.